Welcome back to Gemara Tainish here. Today we're learning Davov, and we're learning in the merit that the hostages should return home, the soldiers should be successful, Israel should emerge victorious, says the Gemara. Gemara is now going to discuss a number of things, starting out with what is Yoreh, what is Malkosh, these are different types of rain, and then we're going to discuss what are the different times of the months supposed to rain, like when it's good and bad, the first rain, the second rain, the third rain, and what is Nafkamina, and why do we even care about the various times of when it's supposed to rain, says the Gemara. So, it's playing off the verse that we know from Shema, when Asati Mata Arzachim, I'll provide rain for your land, Beito, in its proper time, Yoreh u'Malkosh. So, now again, what is Yoreh u'Malkosh? Tanurbanon, Yoreh, the first rain, Shemoreh Sabrios. Why? Because it instructs the people. What does it instruct the people? Latiach, the Gagosayim. So, when it starts to rain in the beginning of the season, all right, time to go and plaster your roof to prevent water from coming in. Ulachas is parasein, and to bring in all your fruit that's left out to dry so it doesn't get ruined. Ulachas is called tzarach, and to tend to all your needs in preparation of the winter rainy months. Davarachas shemoras shemaraves haaretz. It's called yor because it saturates the word maraveh, the earth. Umashke ad atahom, and it waters until the depths. Shenemar, this says, tal meha reva nachas gedueha berviim tagmotagena semicha tivarecha. And it says, by saturating, as in Reva, its furrows, you bring pleasures to its bands of people. With showers you soften the earth, it grows, you bless. Its growth, you bless. Doracher, Yoreh, comes from Shiyor Benachas. It falls gently, any Yor Bazav. It doesn't fall violently like it does later in the season. Okay. Oh, ain't a Yor El Amashir Seperos. And the Gemara says, well, maybe Yor is actually a bad thing. Why do you assume it's a good thing? It's gentle rain that falls and it tells people time to get prepared for the winter. Maybe it's it comes down and it causes the fruit that's on the tree that's already all ripe. If it causes it to all fall down prematurely. Or not ripe, it's prematurely. Umashat, there's a Zerayim, and it washes away all the seeds you just planted. Umashiv is Elonos, and it washes away the trees. Why do you assume it's a positive thing? Talmud Lomer, Malkosh. The Torah says, Yor u'Malkosh, and Malkosh, we know, is a blessing. Ma Malkosh u'Bracha af Yor u'Lebracha. So why are we assuming Malkosh is a blessing? Because Malkosh falls at the end of the season when already there's no fruits to fall down. Folks, well, really, the beginning of the dry season, there's no fruits to fall down, and there's no seeds to wash away, etc. Even then, the Gemara is like, well, maybe, oh, ain't a Malkosh elish maples about them, and maybe Malkosh is so hard it causes houses to come down. U'mash, Bresilinos, it breaks the tree branches. Umazah Houston, and it raises up the locust. The animals, the locusts come. So Talmud Lomar Yora. It also says Yora. My Yora bracha af Malkosh bracha. So just as Yora is a blessing, so too Malkosh is a blessing. So now it's a little circular. How do we know Yora is a blessing because of Malkosh? I know Malkosh is a blessing because of Yora. So it's circular. So then Gemara says actually missing one crucial detail. Yora goofly known. How do we know Yora is beneficial? The Ksiv Ubnei Tzion Gilav Itzmichu BaHashem Elokeichem. Children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in Hashem your God. For he has given you Yoreh as charity. And he has brought down rain for you, Yoreh and Malkosh, in the first month. Thus we see it as a blessing. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Yoreh b'mar cheshvan. Yoreh falls in mar cheshvan. U'malkosh b'nisan. Malkosh falls in nisan. Atom Yoreh b'mar cheshvan. Malkosh b'nisan. O'ena. Is that true? But perhaps El Yoreh tishrei Malkosh b'iyar. Maybe it's this rainy season is actually longer. And it begins in Tishrei and ends in Iyar. Tamalomar Beitos is in its proper time. And as we know, the proper time is when it's most beneficial, and that would be Mar Cheshvan until Nisan. Malkosh, what does the word Malkosh mean? Amrev Nihili, right? Yoru said it comes to teach, it comes to you know, we had a whole bunch of, and we used the etymology of the word to teach us a bunch of things. So what's Malkosh? Amrev Edi Bar Shmuel, Dabar Shemal, Kishusein Shal Yisrael, something that excises the hardness of the Jewish people. As in, it causes them to daven when it doesn't come. So they're going to shah mal koshi. Rabbi Rishmol Tana, davar shemimala tvua b'kasheha. It causes, it's something that fills the stalks with grain. So what does that mean? Male kash. Mal is fills and kash is grain. So mal kash is it fills the stalks with grain, meaning because it causes rain. By Mesnizan Tana, the Brisa says, davar sheyored al hamalilos v'al kashin. Something that descends on the ears, the malilos, and the stalks. So malil kash. Is the ears and stalks again? It reminds us of those things. Good. Tanu Rabbanam Yor Mechesh Malkosh Nisan Atomer Yor Mecheshvan. Oh, in Elav Kislev. Maybe it's actually in Kislev, not in Cheshvan. Tam Lomer Beito Yor Malkosh. When it's a proper time, my Malkosh Beito, just as Malkosh in its proper time, Nisan. If Yor Beito in its proper time, fine. All good and well. Tana Ido. Another Brisa. Yor Mechesh Malkosh Nisan. Yor comes in Mecheshvan Malkosh Nisan. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Kislev. Okay, man chacham, who are these chachamim? These anonymous chacham who claim it's in Kislev against everything we knew. I'm Rav Chisda, Rav Yossi, the Tanya, Ezer Rishono. What is the first rainfall? Kira b'shlishi b'mercheshvan. The first rainfall comes in the third of Mercheshvan. Bain is the intermediate one, b'shiva bo, in the seventh. Afil shiva asibo. And the last one is on the 17th of Mercheshvan. So again, three rains. One is on the first, next one is on the third, and last one is on the 17th. That's what Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, "B'shiva yud zayin u'be'eshim shlosha." The first is on the 7th, the next on the 17th, last on the 23rd. Rabbi Yossi Omer, "Yud zayin u'be'eshim shlosha b'rosh chodesh kislev." So he said the last one is Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and that must be who these anonymous chamar mechain hayu Rabbi Yossi Omer in yechidim esnanin. Those who begin to fast when it doesn't rain, as we'll learn about. Rosh Chodesh Kislev. They only begin to fast when Rosh Chodesh Kislev arrives and there is no third Yorah rainfall. So therefore we see Rav Yosef says that the third rain comes in Kislev. Okay, so before we get to start describing why it's important to know in general these three different times it's supposed to rain in the beginning of the season, we're just going to give a halacha Rav Chisda, halacha Rav Yosef, halacha Rav Yosef, that until Kislev comes, we don't begin to fast because we don't assume it's going to be a year of drought. Again, the subject of this Masechta, Masechta's Tainus, is that the fast we institute when there's going to be drought. Amemar, Masti Lahadar of Chizda Bahalishnar, Amemar, Tar of Chizda, this the following. The Shlish Marchesh and Shalom Sekhasham, and the third of Marchesh, we begin to say Mashvur, St. Talamatar, ask for rain. The little Omer, Bishavabo on the seventh, Amr of Chizda, Halach Karim Lil, Halach Karim Lil on the seventh. Okay, come on, Azul Hadatana. Who says the following Brysa? Rav Shimon Gamlil. Rav Shimon Gamlil says, if rain falls 7 days in a row, atamona ben revi rishon shnia ushlishi, we consider as if we're combining the first, the second, and the third rainfall. Come on, Rav Yossi. This is according to Rav Yossi. Why? Because Rav Yossi, if you recall, if you look back, Rav Yossi says that the what you're reading on the 17th, on the 23rd, and Rosh Chodesh Kislev, which are all within the. Sorry, I misread that. I read that too fastly. Go back one line. Who said the following? Gishamim shiyardu shiva yamim zechazev. Rain falls 3 consecutive days. Atamona ben revi rishona ushnia. And then it's comma ushnia ushlisha, basically. You either consider as if it fell the first and second rain together or the second and third together. Come on, Kerviosi says it's the 17th, the 23rd, and it's Marcheshvan. So either it falls 7 consecutive days from the 17th to the 23rd or 23rd to the Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So that could be Rav Yossi. Okay, Amar Rav Chisda. Just again, repeat it. Halach Rav Yossi, halach Rav Yossi. Fine, all good and well. Now the Gemara wants to know what's the halachic significance of having three rainfalls. Bish Lomar Revi Rishon. I understand why you need to know the first rainfall is Shal, because that's when we begin to ask for rain. Now it's supposed to rain, so we ask for it. Shlish Lisanos. I know why you need the third rainfall in order to know when. Oh, it hasn't rained yet. Let's begin to fast. It might be a year of drought. Shilamai. But why do we care about the second rainfall, whatever it may be? Amar Rav Zeira Lidarim. So this comes up. It came out Mishnah Yomi just a few days ago. For Nadarim, it's not. We learned in Mishnah is in Nadarim. It says as follows. No doubt the Shaman person says, I'm not going to benefit from something until it begins to rain. So when do we consider the rain to fall? Until the second rainfall. When's the second rainfall? Well, that will depend on this machlokes we have over here a minute ago. Why else is it significant? Amrev Zvid, Lazasim, for olives. Well, what connection is there to olives? It's not. We learned the following mission. This goes back to Mishnah Yomi about a year, 2 years ago. Name is like all the matar and leket shichah peya. So we know there's a concept that is leket shichah and peya. Peya are we leave the corner of the fields for the poor. Leket are if stalks fall during the harvest, we leave for the poor. And shichah are if you forget sheaves in the field or stalks in the field, those also go for the poor. Now, what happens when all the poor people come and they collect everything? At a certain point, it becomes hefker and anyone can take from it. When? So we say mishiyelchu hanemushos. When those who go in the foragers, the rummagers, have gone through the whole field. If they go through the whole field and they leave, there's still something left over. So now you can take it. Anyone can take it. The proud of olos. What about when it comes to peret and olos? This is a few mishnayos later there, and that is grapes that fall during the harvest or olos are deformed clusters. The mishnayos explain what's considered a deformed cluster, which you have to leave for the neim. Mishayelchu aniim bekarim v'yavo. After the poor have gone through the whole vineyard and they leave, and then they come again and they leave. So now anything left over you can take. And Bezesim, when are the wealthy or those who are not poor allowed to collect shichah and pay up of olives, we should tear it or after the second rainfall. Therefore, we presume everything was taken. Anything left over is now is hefker. So that's why it's important to know when the second rainfall is for the olives. So by the way, the Gemara just says, my nemusha, what does the word rummagers mean? Nemushers? Two definitions. Amar of Yochanan, Savi the Azli at Targa. It's the elderly people who walk with a cane, as in they're the last ones to come look around because they move the slowest. Shakanamar Lukuti Bas Lukuti, those who come after the gleaners. Again, so now they've really done a thorough search, and anything left over, we assume, is just hefker. Rav Papa Mar. You know why you need it when the second rainfalls are? Because you have to know when you're allowed to walk on the paths. Meaning, if there's a path through a field, Amar Mar, if there's a path through a field, Mehechan Koladim Bashvili Grushos. So long as it hasn't got to the second rainfall, people can walk through the paths of someone's field. Once it gets to the second rainfall, people can no longer do so because at that point, the new grain starts to grow, and if you walk on it, you'll kill it. So therefore, you're not allowed to walk there. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Levar Peres Shvius. There's a concept of Shvius that we know, Mishnah Yomi, that every seventh year, all the food in the field, all the field must lay fallow, and any food that grows is hefker. Now, even though it's hefker and you could take it, you're only allowed to keep it in your house, store it in your house, so long as it's still available outside in the fields. Once it's no longer available outside the fields, then you have to remove it from your house. It's called biur, destroy it, says the Mishnah. If not, I must in the head in the until when can you derive benefit and burn your peros shvius, as in use it for fuel? And by the way, this is not true at all. There's a big problem here, and all the everyone jumps up and down over here and says, what do you mean? You're never allowed to burn it. But let's just assume that's the gersa for whatever reason. When are you allowed to benefit from fruit that grows by itself automatically in the field? So straw and stubble of shvius until the second rainfall comes. Because once the second rainfall comes, we assume any straw and stubble that's left in the field will become rotten, and therefore the animals can't benefit from it. If the animals can't benefit from it, you can either. As the Gemara says, and it should be for your animals and for the beasts that are in the field. As in the things that grow automatically should be for the animals and the beasts. So, and we learn from there, we derive from there, calls machachai ochas pasada. So long as it's available in the for the animals to eat in the field, you can feed to your animals in your house. You're allowed to have benefit from it. Once it's no longer available in the fields, you have to remove it from your house. And we assume once you hit the second rain, anything in the field is going to be rotten at that point, turn into disintegrate, turn into fertilizer, and therefore you have to remove it from your house. Okay. Omar Rav Rabbi Avohu, my lashon revia. So, a minute ago, we used the word revia to signify rainfall. What does it mean? So, davish roba is a karka, something that enters into the ground. Rabbi Yehuda, as Rabbi Yehuda said, Dama Rabbi Yehuda, mitra bala de arahu. Rain is considered the husband of the soil. Shnemar, hikasher yered hageshem v'shelag min hashemayim. This is, we know this from the Haftorah. Hikasher yered hageshem v'shelag min hashemayim. V'shamo lo yashuv, and does not return there. So when the rain comes down, the snow from the heaven does not return. But saturates the earth and makes it bear vegetation and bud. Just as rain impregnates, or just as a man impregnates a woman, so too rain impregnates the ground and causes it to grow. Great. Vam Rav Avohu, Rabbi Rishon, the first rain is considered to have fallen. I mean, if it just drizzles, that's not the first rain. What's actually the first rain? That it penetrates into the ground up to a tefach. I mean, it's enough rain that really begins to enter the ground. Shnia, what's the second rain? Not when it just drizzles, but rather when it saturates the ground so much that it turns the ground into a mud and you can actually form the a cover for a barrel with it. Once rain falls to the extent that the ground becomes so saturated and muddy, you can use the form something out of that. We no longer consider as if God would restrain the heavens. Say we read in part of the Shema, we read, then the wrath of God will blaze against you. And you'll strain the heavens, there'll be no rain, the ground will not yield its produce. So that's the curse of Atzar to restrain. But once it rains that much, clearly God isn't restraining anything. So let's discuss this idea of restraining. If a minimum amount of rain fell before one said Krishma of the Atzar, it's not considered that the curse of Atzar. So I guess the case here is on the day that when it's the last day of the deadline of when it's supposed to rain, if it rains prior to the person saying Krishma, so then clearly God isn't withholding the rains. This only happens before he said the Krishma on the previous day. However, if rain falls before you said he was chanting on that night, then it is considered that we God is cursing us of, he will hold back the rain. Clouds that appear in the morning, less be mishasha. There is nothing to them, as don't think it's a blessing. The Pasuk says, "Ma'asla Ephraim, what can I do with you, Ephraim? Ma'asla Yehuda, what can I do with you, Yehuda? B'chastechem k'anin boker. Your goodness is like a morning cloud, as in God's complaining that their goodness has no substance, just as clouds that come in the dawn have no substance, as in no rain is going to come from them. So Amar Alei Rav Papa Labai, really? Amar Inshi, people used to say, "V'mitfach be'mitra." If rain falls when the gates are open, as in the early morning, the people who the donkey drivers fold your sacks and go to sleep, as in there's going to be such an abundance of produce, and there's going to be no need to sell the grain, and therefore they don't have to go to work. Meaning to say, it's a good thing. So the kasha had the kachav avi had the kachav anani. When there's thick clouds, overcast, then it's going to rain. It's a good thing. When it's just a thin layer of clouds in the morning, so that's not going to rain. It's just the early morning clouds. Oh my Rabbi Yehuda. Tovalishtaya de Teves Armalta. A year where it doesn't rain in Teves is a happy year. It literally means Armalta is a widow. When Teves is a widow, as it doesn't rain, it's a happy year. Ikadamre de Lobari Tar Bitse. Why? Because if it doesn't rain in Teves, the roads are going to be intact and people are going to travel to go learn Torah, so it's a good thing. Ikadamre de Lo Shakal Stufanya. Also, the crops not be affected by the heavy winds that come along with the rain. So it's good it doesn't rain in Teves. Happy is the year where Tavis is very muddy, as in because it means there's a lot of rain. That's a good thing. So is it good? Tavis is good for rain or bad for rain? Lokasha hadasim mitra mikara hadlasim mitra mikara. So no, when it's advantageous that Tavis is dry refers to when there's a lot of rain in Mar Cheshvan in the appropriate time. When it's bad is when it doesn't rain in Mar Cheshvan, then it's bad. Okay, Vam Rav Chista. If rain falls, not when it's bad. When it's when it'd be happy, it rains in Teves. When it doesn't rain previously. Let's say rain falls in part of the land. Then it doesn't fall in part of the land. We don't consider that a manifestation of God's curse of He will restrain the rain because it's still growing in part of the land. In that area, will be enough produce that will help all the peoples of the other part where it didn't grow. In his Ishruvah, it says in the following pasuk in Amos, "V'gamanochi min anti bechem es geshem." I will withhold rain from you. Bo'ed shlishi chadash niktzar. When you're yet 3 months to the reaping, v'hamatarti al ir achas, and I will bring rain to one city. Val ir achas la amatar, and one city I'll not bring rain. Chelachas timtar, one portion will be rained upon, and one portion won't be rained upon. So seemingly here we see that part of the curse is it's going to rain one place, not in the other. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Shtein Lekala. Both these things are bad, meaning. So is a minute ago, we're like, if it rains in half this, you know, half a province, it doesn't rain the other, it's fine because one will compensate for the other. Now we're saying, look, there's a curse here. We've seen almost that it's only going to rain in one city, not in the other city. Lokasha, Hadasatuva, this is considered where the part where it's considered a curse is when there's an excessive amount of rain that damaged the crops. Tosadasa can be bali. And here is when it does not, it's a right amount that the crops need to grow. You know, as we say, the brach lo laklala. Amar Vashi, Daikanami, this is also, if you read the pasuk carefully, Timtar. It says one portion will be rained upon, Tehei Mokar Mutar. It will be a place of rain, Shmaina, learn from here, that it's a place of rain, i.e., it's a good thing. Okay. Sorry, it's a bad thing, because it's too much rain. Good. Amar Rabbi Avo, Meimus Evarach Lashaman. Why did one make up this special bracha, brought them Shulchan Aruch, that you make when it rains? After the groom has gone out to meet the bride, as in after the rain has really, it really begin to fall. My varach, what's the bracha? Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Moed Manach Nelecha Hashem Lekeinu. We thank you, Hashem, our God. V'akol Tipa, V'tipa Sharadati Lanu. On every single drop that you have brought down for us, Rabbi Yochanan Messiah, V'ha'achin. Rabbi Yochanan answer and off. Ilu fini moli shira kayam, where our mouth is full of song of the sea. Lusheni rina kamon galav, and our tongues is full of joy, song as multitudes of waves. And it seemingly you go through all of Nishmas Kol Chai then, Ad al Yazvenu Rachamech Hashem Kain, until you get to let not your mercy forsake us, Hashem our God, Lazvenu, and it has not forsaken us. Baruch Rav Hodos, blessed are you with the most thanksgiving, and seemingly you say it with Hashem's name, Baruch Ta Hashem. As the Shulchan Aruch points down, Rav Hodos, Lokal Rodos, says, wait a minute, We say bless you who for most Thanksgivings, most but not all Thanksgiving. Amrava Amos Al Hodos. Rather say God of Thanksgivings. Amra Papa Hilka. Therefore, since the dispute, Nimnu Latavai say both El Hodos Verovodos. God of Thanksgiving, God of many Thanksgivings. I wish you all a wonderful day.